guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast Season 2, Episode 40. Today's guest, Dylan Guillory, is an actor and all-rounder when it comes to behind the camera. He is currently working as a crew member on the reality TV show Below the Deck, and in today's episode, we get into his journey and all the experiences he has had that got him to where he is today. Thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today, Dylan. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Zolo. Long time no speak.
I know, it's been too long. So we start with a rapid fire on this podcast. So are you keen to play that one with me?
Let's go for it.
Perfect. So the first one is an actor that inspires you the most.
The one I look up to the most is Adam Devine. You know who he is?
Yes, I do.
Cool. He's like my idol. If I could play any actor or any character, I always usually channel some of his energy, just because comedy is like my major sort of draw card into wanting to be an actor. And I think he is like the epiphany of comedy.
Yeah, perfect. And because I guess I'll tailor it to you because you do crew work as well, the next one is TV or film. So I actually would want to ask, like, what you prefer to work in as an actor and as a crew member?
Good question. I guess as a crew member, I've done both, and I think I prefer television predominantly because it's goes a little longer. It feels a bit more creative because it's kind of like we're making multiple different episodes and we're going to different places and exploring different and like different genres and whatnot. And then I'll probably say the same as an actor because it's kind of like, actually, no, I'd probably rather be a movie for acting. Yeah. Just because it's like one thing and you kind of just there and then and smash it all out.
Yeah, for sure. The next one is blockbuster or indie, what you prefer to watch?
Probably blockbuster. I'm very Hollywood-y. Yeah.
Unfortunately, very much on the Hollywood. Not into
very
the
much
indie.
On the Hollywood side. Straight to it, yeah.
Yeah, the last
I mean,
one.
I respect everything in indie productions do, but I feel like just, you know, there's nothing like a Liam Neeson film.
Yeah, you love going to the movies, getting that whole
exactly
experience.
Exactly, and cinema popcorn just hits differently, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one is, when are you most inspired?
I mean, you know, every day working on a television show and seeing people do what they do best is kind of like just inspires me to keep doing what I'm doing. And I guess that's probably, yeah, most time is whenever I'm at work, really.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that was good. That was fast. Some people don't do it that fast. You did it pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People have been telling me it's not really rapid fire. I'm like, well, it depends how quick you do it.
Yeah, I guess. You just got to go with the flow.
Exactly. So tell me, so we met in LA, but I don't really know much of your journey from the start. Like, how did you get into acting? Like, was it always something you wanted to do, or did it come like later in like life kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it came later in life. I mean, as a kid, I was always like making videos with like parents' VCR cameras and like just trying to put on a show, and I kind of was a bit of a class clown, I suppose, at school. I would always act out of character and be silly and do stupid things. So I kind of always had some creativeness in me. As a kid, though, I always wanted to be a vet. I had like a massive love for animals. I know, it was crazy. I had a love for animals. I just wanted to help, and like I'd always just want to do something in that field. Mm. And then I remember in year 10, we had the opportunity to do work experience. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, this is like what I can do. And I hit up like a local vet in my area, and I did the first day of work experience, and on day one we put down a dog, and I was like,
oh my god,
this isn't for me. So that was like my one time of working in a vet and wanting to do what I wanted to do. And yeah, seeing that happen, I was just like, yeah, no, I don't have the stomach for this. I felt sick. I couldn't even go for the last couple of days. So I was like, well, yeah, that's out of the question. What else do I want to do? And then I kind of like fell into the TV world. Kept doing drama at school, and then obviously finished school and joined an agency and some extra work, and it sort of just went from there, really.
Did you do musicals at school, or you weren't really that kind of kid? Just kind
of. I mean, I did. I wasn't that kind of kid that sung and danced, but I did do musical. I think we did like High School Musical at school, and we did something called like Back to the 80s. So I was in both of those. Nothing crazy, just like bit parts and just a couple of words here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was fun to do. And obviously you do the like school plays and stuff and film and TV and you make your own content. But yeah, never really branched out until after school when I kind of thought this was something I wanted to do.
Yeah. Where did you go like after school? Like, did you do training and things like that? Or did you kind of just create your own pathway to get an agent and stuff?
Pretty much. Like, I mean, after, I think it was during like year 11 or year 12, I signed up to an agency here on the Gold Coast, and it was like just like an extras agency. And I went in and I signed up, and through the agency they offered sort of like short courses. So there was like intro to film and TV, and then like career acting courses that went for like 20 weeks. And I was always like 2 nights a week. And I signed up to 2 classes with them. And I kind of like, that was like a whole year after school. I was sort of studying once, twice a week, doing acting and just doing sort of extra work on the side.
Yeah.
And then that kind of just led to just, yeah, trying to just keep pursuing it and just kept doing sort of work and work and work. And it got to the point where I was like, wasn't doing as much as I wanted to do, that I went into the agency and just asked for a job and started working behind the scenes as an agent. So it was so I ended up like being a talent agent at this agency just so I could help other people be on film sets, because I just wanted to be on film sets and I wanted to show how cool working on film sets was. So I was like, hey, you should jump on a film set. And like, yeah, it was kind of like I started off there once a week vacuuming the floors, and then eventually I just got the opportunity to work there, and then I got full time, and then one of the ladies left after like a year, and then I kind of got to take over the agency and sort of ran and managed it myself, which was pretty crazy at the age of like 18.
Oh my God. What was that like? Like, did you see a lot of things behind the scenes that like helped you as an actor kind of see like, okay, the whole audition thing, it's not just about like it's not just about your performance, it's about so many other things that come into it. Like, did you see a lot of things that you probably think would help a lot of actors if they also got to be on the opposite side?
Yeah, pretty much actually. I got to see quite a bit. It was a blessing and a curse at each day, because I'd get to work and you get briefings come through and it's like, hey, we're looking for like an 18-year-old surfy-looking dude from the Gold Coast. So I was like, well, I could do that. And then it's like, I can't put myself forward for it because I'm like working, and it's like, it was a double-edged sword sort of thing. So, I mean, I'd put other people forward, and then like you'd get them to come in and you'd help them like screen self-tape. So you can like give them pointers. You can see how they were going to perform and how they take on each character. So I mean, it was awesome that regards, like you could see everyone else giving it a crack and seeing how it all works, and obviously making connections with casting directors was a huge help. Because we'd obviously talk to them every single day. I mean, yeah, it opened up a lot of doors, and to this day, like, I still am like so in contact with the casting directors that worked on the shows, that were giving me castings that day to submit people for, and even like my agent who ran the business, like he still calls me all the time and has conversations. So it's like, yeah, it's pretty, it's definitely, it was definitely a good start to.
Yeah. Well, it's a unique journey. I didn't realize that you worked like behind like in an agency and like full rent. That's crazy. That's cool though. Like it's cool that you didn't do this like the typical thing that everyone does. You kind of have your own experience and get to teach people like what you did as well, and also learn like at the same time learn behind the scenes of that kind of field.
Yeah, I mean it was also awesome because I also got to, during school holidays, we would run like kids programs. So I got to actually teach like kids, like up and coming, like 6, 7, 8, 9 year old sort of thing. I taught them acting classes, and it was pretty cool, like being able to do, even though I wasn't like this huge main actor who's done like anything crazy, I was like still trying to help people. I mean, just sort of see where their abilities are and help them get to where they want to be in life.
Yeah, exactly. Where did your like your crew work, like how did you go about getting jobs with crew, like behind the scenes on actual like TV sets and films and things like that? Like when did that all kind of come into play? Was that like around the same time and working for the agent as well, or did it kind of come later on?
It kind of came a bit later on because I was still really wanting to follow the acting journey. I mean, I left that job for the main reason of being able to not give myself any acting opportunities, because I was putting everyone else forward instead of me. So I kind of, that's the main reason I left that role, because it's kind of like a job where it's either you're 100% committed to be an agent and you have to give everyone else opportunities other than yourself, or you just leave it and you just start wanting to be an actor. So that was the main reason I left. So I left that and I just kept doing like auditions and whatnot. And I was working at like Dreamworld as like a suit character and entertainer. So I was just doing like all that sort of stuff. And then I got to the point where like the Gold Coast wasn't really getting anywhere. So I decided to take a bit of a year off and moved over to Canada and sort of gave it a crack over there.
And what was that like? What was that experience? What was Canada like? Like, is Canada, was it just whole awesome. World change, like culture shock and things like that, or not really?
Not really culture shock, because it's kind of like a Western country. It's the same as here. It was cold. That was the main culture shock. Basically, over there, I think everything's sort of, you know, on a bigger scale. So I went over there and I gave it a try, and mainly a lot over there was working on indies, because it's just like it's so easy to get, it's not as easy anymore, but it's like used to be so easy here to get agents and stuff like that. But like going over to Canada, it's like a different, or America in general, it's a different playing field. Like you have to match so much criteria, their visas, you got to be like extremely great looking, talented. It's like, it's a challenge.
for sure.
But I mean, I got over there, I got on my feet. I was like, as soon as I got there, I landed like a role on like an independent American feature film. So it was pretty cool. And then from there, I was doing just like university graduate short films and all that sort of stuff, whilst just trying to make a living on $12 an hour and paying rent.
the life.
It's crazy. It is crazy. We don't know how lucky we have it here sometimes.
I know. We do have it, like, honestly, I've just been thinking about that too, because even their leave and like their holidays, they get barely anything. And I swear to God, it's like you come back and you could do anything here.
legit. Yeah. Take 2 weeks time off whenever you want. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If you need like a week off, they'll just like, yeah, sure. You know, whatever, like it's, but over there, it's so hard. Like even in Canada, I feel like Canada's worse with wages anyway. Like I think they're, you get paid less there than even America, which is
weird. Yeah, it's crazy. But the thing about them is like $1 Australian is probably like 98 Canadian sort of thing. So it's pretty on par. Whereas the US, it's like 68 cents, you know what I mean, for a dollar.
even if you are
making $14 an hour in the US, it's still equivalent to almost 18-19 Australian. So it does have its Whereas yeah. Canada, it's like if you're making $14 an hour, you're making $14 an hour.
Yeah.
So it's
and you feel it. You feel it. I mean, we both know it's bloody difficult when you have to live on those wages.
Crazy.
So with Canada, like where what made you kind of decide to go to Canada? Like, was it kind of just natural kind of instinct? You're just like, I'm gonna go to Canada, see how what I can do, or were you just kind of on the gap year, so you're like, I'm just gonna go there and see?
I mean, I always wanted to visit Canada. I always wanted to get away from the Gold Coast because it's kind of one of those cities that's like, as much as it's a great place to live, it's kind of those ones, if you don't get out, you'll be here forever.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like one of the easiest places to get a visa. And my dream was America, LA, like blah, blah, blah. Like I wanted a Hollywood, that lifestyle. And I figured Canada was like the closest country to it that would give me a visa. And then I could just fly to like LA on the weekends and do auditions if I got the opportunity to and whatnot. So that was the main reason of going to Canada. Just because it was so easy at the time getting there. And I had like a lot of mates that went over there to sort of try and not make it as an actor, but just go over there and live like on the snowfields and sort of whatnot. So it was cool to go over there and obviously know a few people there that have been there, had the experience, and then go and give it a go myself. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that where you started working like on as a crew and things, or did that also come after? Like when did that all start for you, and how did you kind of find your connections to be able to like continue on working like as a crew member, like on different things up until like now as well?
So crew came super later. So after I left Canada, I came back to Australia, was here for a couple of months on the Gold Coast, and then I moved to Melbourne and studied acting again full time. So I went down there, studied full time. I did a year course. And then once that had finished, I was like desperately broke. And I was kind of like just wanting to work in the industry so much. And I was like, I can't get any acting gigs right now. I can only get unpaid work. So I was like, well, what can I do? And I was just basically just on IMDb. I was on like crew list. I was on like all sorts of pages, just looking at people in their departments. And I was thinking like, I was like camera or grips or lighting or art. And I'd go to like the top of the ladder, and then I would find their emails, and I would email them and say, hey, I'd be interested in getting involved in this industry and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do every field. I did ones that I was interested in. So one that I was interested in was like location management.
Yeah.
So I reached out to a few location managers, and I got a response from one saying, that's awesome that you're interested in doing location sort of thing. Let's have a chat. And then I went in and met the guy, and basically started the next day. It was kind of like I kind of started basically full-time work doing location management for predominantly like television commercials. So I was like started off as obviously a scout, and you go out and you scout around Melbourne and like finding different things for different projects. I mean, a lot of it was like car ads or like chemist warehouse and like all that sort of stuff. It wasn't like the most creative thing in the world, but I mean, you're kind of like you're in the advertisement industry, and it was my pathway into crew work sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. What's been the favorite thing that you've worked on so far, I guess, like within Australia? Like what's the favorite kind of thing where you've had more creativity that you've worked on?
I mean, it kind of just like, once I got out of the commercial world, I suppose it, I was still pretty, I only really got into the actual film industry, TV industry after I came back from living in the US for a bit. Yeah. So when I got back to Australia, I went to New Zealand first, and then I only come back to Australia and started working in the Australian film industry, not commercials, in 2021, probably.
Which is really?
So
I thought you were doing it before.
No, so it was all in Melbourne. It was all my commercials in Melbourne and doing stuff there. And then obviously I moved to LA and then I started working mainly there.
Yeah.
That was it was kind of my pathway then. Like the opportunities I got in Melbourne doing locations opened up the door to pretty much everything I went to from there.
Yeah.
And then since I've done 2 feature films, I've done a couple of TV shows, and now I'm kind of transitioning into the reality television world.
Look at you. Can you tell us, you worked on Below Deck, but is there something else that you're doing as well, or is just Below Deck at the moment?
Just that at the moment, yeah. So we did, obviously it's out now on Hayu and Peacock in the US. Yeah. So we did the first season of Below Deck Down Under. My first job coming back to Australia after COVID. It's a pretty cool, like, you know, lifestyle, working on super yachts and sort of traveling the world.
Crazy.
So we did that, and that was in Airlie Beach.
Did you get to live there? Like, were you just pretty much living there for the whole duration of the time, or do they take the crew somewhere else?
No, so it's a 24-hour show. So basically there's cameras rolling 24/7. And we are based in like a hotel. So we stay in a hotel, and then we obviously have our set shifts, our 12-hour shifts. And then you come in, the boat's out at sea, you take like a water taxi out, you jump on, you jump into one little room inside the yacht. And that's our sort of room where we watch everything unfold. And then you leave at the end of the day, you take a water taxi back to your hotel, and then you do it again 7 days a week.
Oh my god. What was your role on
the first season I did it, I was PA'ing. So that was because they just come to Australia, so it was kind of like new, and I didn't even know how I got the job, to be honest. Like, it was like literally a random lady from New Zealand sent me an email saying, "Hey, interested in PA in the show?" And I was like, not real. I just got back to Australia. I was like, I kind of want to work and build my connections here. So I was like, sure, why not? Yeah. And then I didn't even know what show it was for. It was all very hush hush.
Yeah.
I got there and then I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's pretty cool.
I said yes.
Yeah, I know. I was like, exactly. And it's great because it opened up the door to so much now. You know, I've got great connections with the crew. They're awesome people that work on that show and produce that show. And I mean, I can't talk too much about it, but I've done other seasons of it now. So I've been fortunate enough to have been able to travel with the crew and be able to go to different countries and be able to work on the actual show consistently.
Yeah, so you're literally living your best life.
Yeah.
Is awesome. Yeah.
You're getting paid to travel the world and working on a yacht. It's pretty, it is pretty cool.
For sure, for sure. Well, let's get to LA because that's where we met, and like, I want to know how many years you were trying for the green card before you actually like successfully won the green card.
Yeah, I think you can't enter it as yourself until you're at least a certain age. So I don't think I entered it until I think you have to be 18 to enter it. So I don't think I entered it until I was 18. And then obviously I just kept entering and entering every single year. And you keep like, it opens in October. You find out in May if you get it, and then you do it again. So I entered it in the first time whenever it was, maybe like 8 years ago.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, just rejection, 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 rejection. I mean, I think one year I went through a site that it's like someone called me and it's like, hey, if you want to pay like $100-something, it'll express chance your chances of getting in, sort of thing. So I was like, yeah, all right. So I paid money. I went through those sites. I mean, just any way I possibly could to find a way to get into country. And then I remember in 2018, check the results, and it's like, you have been randomly selected for further processing. And I was like, I think I like started crying. It was like one of the most exciting moments I've ever received an email, you know?
Yeah, literally.
And then obviously it kind of just, you fill in your next step, which is like this Confirmate DS-260 form, fill in that, and then you don't hear anything for like 8-9 months. So it's like,
Yeah, it's kind of like the I got it, and then for another like 8-9 months you just don't hear anything.
Exactly. You just sort of sit in there like, oh, okay. Did I get it? Did I not get it?
But you got out the perfect time as well, like before all this stuff, and now people have to go through like bloody everything just to like get an appointment. But
I know.
What kind of, when you first moved to LA, was that when I was there? Like, you moved there around the same time, right?
Yeah, I officially moved there around exactly the same time as you did. I went over there in December 2018 for about a month or so, just to activate it and find, like, get everything organized, you know, open up banks and set up social security and all that sort of stuff. And sort of just get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then came back home for summer and obviously make a little bit more money because you need money to go over there. And then I moved there officially at the middle of May.
Yeah, do not go over there without money. You just be eating the worst food ever. Like me, 2-minute noodles.
That's it, on the daily.
Crazy. You started working. Where was like your first kind of, did you have a lot of like enough connections from here to be able to go over there and be like, this is where, you know, or was it kind of starting from scratch again?
Yeah, I started from scratch again, basically. So I went over there and obviously I got a place with Jess, who you know and who most people probably know. So I moved in with Jess. I saw her, she had like a Facebook ad. I was like, well, this name sounds super familiar. I might apply that. And then, moved in there. And then she was basically like a huge help for getting over there and like basically setting myself up. She helped me so much and then gave me the opportunity to come do some studying as well with you guys in your course. So when I first got there, I was kind of still like on a little bit of like LA lifestyle mode, you know, just wanted to like enjoy Hollywood and do acting courses, audition and all that stuff. So I kind of went over there with money saved and just sort of wanted to do like a few months of just sort of smashing out the acting, seeing if we can get in that side of things. And I did a lot of like auditions and bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get to the point where it's like you're paying rent, you're paying car insurance, phone bills, courses, etc. And it's like, well, I'm very broke now. I need to find a job. So I kind of just basically hustled. And again, same thing I did back in Melbourne. I was like reaching out to people, IMDb, finding emails, sending them my CVs, trying to get something. And it took 3 months and I didn't really hear back from anything at all. And I was kind of like getting really sort of scary because I was like, well, I don't really want to come over to LA and work at a pizza shop and just flip pizzas. You know what I mean? I came over here for a reason. And if I can't get that here and I can get it back home, I may as well go back there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I reached out to people back home because it got to that point where I was like, look, I'm thinking of coming back. Like, do you guys know anyone in LA or whatnot? A lady I worked for at Nova in Melbourne, she said, oh, I know a producer that lives in Los Angeles that may be able to get you something. Here's his email. So I was like, oh, sick. All right. So I sent him an email. And met up with him for coffee, and then maybe 3 or 4 days later I got offered carpool karaoke as a PA.
Oh yeah, you did too.
So that was my first gig in the US, was working on carpool karaoke.
Yeah, I remember you came home or whatever one day and you're like, oh yeah, just been with some actress named Zoe Deschanel. We were just like, what the hell? Just casually
with her.
And what was that like? What was the carpool karaoke like? Did you have, was it a good experience? Did you learn a lot?
Yeah, it was a good experience. I mean, it was kind of like, it's different because it's basically all set up at the studio. And then once the car's ready, they do their little intro, they jump in the car and say, let's go driving. And then it's all run and gun. So basically you're in like a follow car, like 2 or 3 cars behind the actual hero vehicle. And we have like monitors so we can see what's going on. And then they're doing things. And then our role specifically was like mainly just getting releases signed. So if we saw someone that was like down the street and they like one of the whether it was Zoe or James or something, waves at a pedestrian or the pedestrian interacts, we had to pull over, race out and get someone to sign the form.
Oh my gosh.
So that's kind of what it was mainly the role was. So it wasn't like too crazy, but it kind of gave me an insight to working in, like, I think that was at CBS. So I was like working in a studio in LA and like working with like Americans and like basically a feeling of being in the big league, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I did a couple of them, and then from there it went to some like magic show. did like a pilot for a magic show. I don't actually can't remember what it was called, but he was like an illusionist. And we were filming again. We filmed with Zoe again and somewhere in Culver City. And then after that, I got a interview at Access Hollywood. Like a celebrity gossip show.
The big leagues
over at NBC, and I interviewed there and they offered me full-time work. So I took on that and basically worked there throughout the whole duration of living in America.
Would you say that having that on your resume when you came back because of the pandemic kind of boosted?
Yeah, I'd say yeah. So, yeah.
Like boosted you in a way, like you have that experience over there, like, okay, you must have, like, you must know what you're doing. Like, did you come back with a bit more of a, like, level up than what you would have been when you left here?
Yeah, I think so. I guess it's more like, you know, having titles like that on your resume over Priceline commercials. I mean, don't get me wrong, Priceline commercials, great, but... Mm. It's just like, you know, you're working in a bit more of a higher up, I guess, show. It's working with a huge network, and it does definitely open doors. And even though you're not like the largest role on the crew, you're still sort of, you know, it's still something that's a pretty cool thing to have.
And you still work on a set. So it's kind of like they see that you've worked, you know, your way around a set, know what you're doing.
Exactly. So that's kind of where it's sort of, you know, it's sort of sparked from there. And I think it's, yeah, I mean, I'm still in contact with those guys now, and I'm going over there in a couple of weeks, so I'd be excited to catch up with them. And, you know,
yeah,
kind of left at the end of COVID, and it was kind of like one of those rocky things where, you know, you don't know what's happening next.
Exactly. But everything, you know, everything's starting to get back to normal a bit now. What would be like your biggest like advice you would give to someone who's kind of like, I don't want to work, like kind of like you, like you don't want to just work in whatever job, you want to go over there and or anywhere, wherever they go, like, and you want to actually get into the film industry and start doing that. Would you say to like it the way you did it, like contact people and just push for it? Or
pretty much, yeah. I guess this industry is really all about persistence. And also one of the worst things is that it's all about who you know as well. So it's kind of, it does come down to that. And I mean, as much as I did 3 months worth of sending out emails and calling people and trying to like get some work, it came down to an old boss who knew someone that lived in Los Angeles that works on TV shows, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the downside to this industry. And it's just, I mean, sometimes you can get away with luck and whatnot, but it's just really does come down to that. But as long as you're a good person, a hard worker, have a good work ethic, just keep being persistent, eventually you'll get to where you want to be.
Yeah. And what's your, like, where are you at with acting now? Like, are you still actively doing that, or you kind of just think that you're, the crew kind of work now is your main focus?
I mean, ever since COVID happened, so when COVID happened at the start of 2020, that was kind of like when acting for me kind of slowed right down, because I was like, well, I'm not getting as many auditions as I used to get. I think it was a time like living over there where I was getting like one or two a week sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I would do that in between working at Access. You'd come home, you'd do your audition, and it was kind of like a routine. And then COVID happened, and then everything kind of quieted down. And I left LA, went back to New Zealand, and sort of lived with my family there for a bit. And then eventually it's like somewhat started to pick back up, but it was more like it wasn't really acting like America had still kind of been like getting really hit hard, whereas New Zealand was like this small little country that didn't get a case of coronavirus for like 100 plus days. So the industry was still sort of popping there. So I kind of reached out and I got work back over there. And then, I mean, with COVID, like since COVID happened in 2020 till now, I haven't stopped working as a crew member. Like I've been on show after show after show. And it's at the point now where I'm sort of like turning down shows in order to go have a holiday. So that's kind of like where I'm at. And obviously like acting's still a big part of me and I still want to do it. It's just kind of sometimes, it's like, you know, if you're making good money working in the industry as well and getting paid to travel and getting cool opportunities, it's one of those things that I will eventually get back into it. But at the moment, I'm sort of like, yeah, I don't want to like rock the bear, you know, it's kind of like working pretty well for me.
Like you're happy where you are. You're focusing on like what you've got in front of you right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm opening doors now to where I'm starting to do producing different shows and whatnot. And, you know, it's definitely still there. It's definitely like it's an itch that will never go away. You know, I always wanted to be an actor. I always will want to be an actor, but it's kind of like it's not at the top of
my
radar at the current moment.
And I think a lot of things change in like COVID anyway. People that were active, like were getting auditions like every day, had to find something else because it wasn't happening every day. And I think as long as you're still in the industry doing something, then it doesn't really matter, I guess, because you still have it. It's just not as frequent as it was.
Exactly.
So what's next for you? What do you want to be doing like when you go back to LA, and what are you trying to avoid for not doing when you go back to LA? what have you kind of learnt from like the first time, and what do you want to like make sure that you're not doing when you go back?
I don't know. It's hard because I want to go back over there and I want to actually enjoy my time there first, because I feel like I didn't do that as much last time because I was so sort of driven and focused in order to make it in LA and to get work just to pay rent and survive. So now that I'm sort of a bit more financially supportive and I've got more connections and offers and whatnot, I feel like it's now more is sort of wanting to go and actually enjoy America for what it actually is. That's probably this time is to just go over there and actually just enjoy it and just see what happens, you know.
Yeah,
take it as it comes.
Yeah, for sure. I think that do you think that COVID was a good time for you to just kind of build that up and set yourself up better, so then when you're going back, like you actually have more of a backing with you, so then you can do things like that and just chill and not like freak out?
Yeah I think so, because I mean the good thing is with me is whenever I do a job, I do it to the best of my ability, and I do it I think I have a good work ethic because I seem to be getting asked back to do things. So I think that's what's good, and by doing that I've met so many people and made so many connections where it's like I feel like I could just pick up the phone and say, hey, you got anything on, and they would say, yeah, come start tomorrow, sort of thing. So I mean, it's not as nerve-wracking as it is going over there now and sort of trying to find work, because I know if I want work I could get work, you know what I mean? So it makes it a little bit more comfortable. But I mean, I also do want to, since I am comfortable in that, I feel like now I could probably focus a little bit more on acting, because I can, if I do struggle, I can pick up the phone and get some work, and when I'm not doing auditions and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, it's one of those things I kind of just need to really sort of sit down and think where I want to go and what I want to do for the next sort of 5-10 years, and make a little bit of a goal and a plan and go from there.
Yeah, look at you, killing it, killing it, absolutely killing it. Below deck, everything. Like, have you do what? Have you been watching? Do you watch the season? Like, have you been watching it or not really?
Not gonna lie, no, I haven't. I mean, it's hard to sometimes to go work on the show and then come home at the end of the day and then watch it.
Yeah,
it's like kind of watch it all day long.
Too long.
Yeah, so it's yeah. I mean, I will watch it eventually. I mean, you can see I'm actually in it. I'll do a little cameo on the very first episode of season one.
No way. I want to watch that now. Yeah. I watched it. I watched the one that Francesca was in. Do you remember Francesca?
I do.
Yeah, I watched the one that she was in.
COVID happened.
Yeah, but I haven't watched the recent one. Is it the recent one that you're in?
Yeah, so it's in the one in Australia. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, probably wild. I can only imagine. It's probably crazy.
Oh, that opened up the door for me wanting to work more into the reality TV world. I think that show.
What do you think? Like, do you find do you have any major differences of reality TV and then just like a normal TV show? Do you find that?
Yeah, like- I feel like it's a reality seems to be a bit more like fun, a bit more of a sort of a. Everyone's there just to smash it out for 6 weeks and just do it as fun as possible through a run and gun. It's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of like, you can have your say, et cetera. Whereas when you go down to like working in scripted world, I did a show in Wellington and I was like the assistant location manager and it was a Joseph Gordon-Levitt TV show.
Oh, wow.
And we would be working 5 days a week, 14 hour days plus, into the middle of the night, just filming 2-3 minutes of this Joseph speaking about living in his house type thing. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, oh, you spend the 14 hours just to make 3 minutes of footage. Whereas in the reality world, you're spending 12-14 hours and you make 14 hours of television, whether or not you use all that 14 hours, there's 14 hours of work on camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Wow.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting what you're doing and where you, like from where you started to where you are now, it's pretty inspiring. And I think whoever listens to this, whether they're looking to be like an actor or get into crew work or whatever, they'll have some good tips that you've given to follow hopefully. And to get somewhere. Well, yeah, it is true. I mean, your journey's like unique. You didn't like follow the same kind of path, you know, like to manage like an agency and then to go from there to like Canada. It's different, but it works. And it just shows that everyone's journeys are different and you can't really just sit there and think that you're not achieving something because your journey's not the same as someone else's.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
I look forward to seeing what you do next. And hopefully I'll be over in LA and we can catch up after.
Fingers crossed. It's
been like 3 years, I feel.
I know. Crazy. I'm sure we'll get there one day.
For sure.
I'll try and make it to Melbourne one day. Even though it's way too cold there these days.
No, don't come here. It's freezing. It's freezing.
Yeah, it's still sunny and beautiful here on the GC.
You know what? I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Well, when I went to Cairns, it was so hot. And I'm like, I could live here.
Yeah, well, we were in Cairns at the same time, but we didn't see you.
I know. Rude. That's actually rude, but whatever.
You must have been too busy.
Yeah. I know. Well, we'll catch up in LA for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, right, Solo.
Bye. Thank you.
Gotcha.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.